Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 15th of April, recording at 9:14 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today, and this is actually a big risk-off day in pretty well every respect. Now, the selling pressure in Asia was not too great. Although that said, we've got Japan's Nikkei 225, that's down over 1.5%, and the TOPIX down over 1.25%, and also China, the Shanghai Composite Index, down over 1.33%, and most markets were lower. There were a few to the plus side. Small moves to the upside by India, also Thailand, New Zealand was also higher, but mostly lower. Now, in Europe, we also had declines, but they were moderate for the most part. The biggest one appears to have been the Italian market, but it was down just under 1%. Overall. Now, in the Americas, however, and in commodity markets generally, we've seen some pretty big hits. Brazil was clobbered down over 3%, with the Bovespa index falling to 53,235. The action on Wall Street, I've got a delayed feed on the S&P now. That's coming in. I think that's completed. We're down 2.3% on the S&P. Same on the NASDAQ. Canada, which has been quite soft recently, hit by the weakness in commodities, is down 2.6%. Mexico, which had been such a stalwart since November and earlier, is down 2.32%. Here today. Now, government bond markets, against that background, bond prices were firmer. In other words, yields easing a little bit further, but not significantly given the weakness of stock markets, as one might have expected. The dollar index also was a little bit higher. But not all that much. Actually, the Asian dollar index was a bit steadier in here today. The Chinese yuan also moving to a new high to the U.S. dollar, or very close to it here today, I believe. Commodity currencies took it on the chin a bit. That includes the Canadian dollar. The U.S. pushed up to 1.02.5. Against the Canadian, and the Australian dollar fell back to just around 1.03. Elsewhere, the euro is down a little bit, but is still above 1.30. And sterling also down a little bit here, but currently at 1.5282. So not that much in the way of big drama there. However, you move into the commodity markets, and we see some pretty big hits. That continuous commodity index, the CCI, now that had really the biggest fall that we've seen probably in several years. It's actually bigger than the fall that we saw in that September 2012 peak. It's down 14 points here today to 529 and change, but it's still above that important June low, which was just above the 500 level overall. Now, among other commodities, the industrial metals were hit fairly hard, particularly tin and copper, although aluminium, which has been a soft market really for quite some time, but that actually produced some small gains on the LME here today. The bigger stories, copper down 7.6 cents to 3.27 and change. And the only exceptions here, well, the only exception that I see in the commodities actually is that aluminium. I beg your pardon. No. I think it is just aluminium. The others, or at least a good number that I can actually see on the screen, are all down. And the biggest story in the commodities, well, I'll take that last. Crude oil, really quite soft in here today, with the WTI down over $3, and that's taken it back to $88.26. And the Brent, that's the more important contract. And these days, because the WTI really only applies to the US and I could also say Canada, but Brent is much more indicative of what's going on elsewhere in the oil markets, and that's hovering right around the $100 level. That's down almost $3. Now, the bigger news, though, still is the sell-off that we've seen in precious metals today. Now, as you know, they got hit pretty hard on Friday, but we had a bit of a meltdown here. And as we speak, gold is, well, it's currently down $136. It's still trading here fairly actively, and it has been down. That brings it down to $1,346. It has been $11 lower so far, but it's been pretty well heavy downward pressure for precious metals all day long. Now, in addition to that, we've got an even bigger fall, and this is an astonishing sell-off. Guess what the percentage is. I can't see it on the screen. It must be about 12-13% for silver. It's currently trading at 22.54, and that's down 3.73. And we've also got palladium, which actually had been the standout performer for most of this year to date. But this is down $56 in here today. It brings it back to 652 and change. And platinum down $96. That's taken it just under the $1,400 level. So you can see this really, really has been a very, very weak session here for the precious metals. Now, I think there's an element of surprise which has led to some of the weakness. In other words, gold and silver on Friday, well, in recent weeks, I should say, have been testing their range lows, which go back a couple of years, or at least to September 2011. And though previously we had seen some big bounces up off those range lows, and clearly a number of people were hoping that that might happen. I actually saw one statistic saying that hedge funds and other speculators had increased their longs fairly significantly, some of them during the first week of April. I'm in no position to contract that, to confirm that rather, but I did see it on a Bloomberg report. But what happened though is that as gold and silver broke underneath their range lows, say dating back to at least September 2011, we saw some sharp downside follow through on Friday, and then this meltdown here today. And the concern is that we're going to see quite possibly some central bank sales. It started with a view that that Cyprus would actually be a seller, and then people began to think about what about the other troubled European central banks, particularly the southern European ones, and some of those have big gold positions, such as Italy. Now, we also know that data has shown that other central banks around the world that are in surplus are continuing to buy gold, but I think it's this sudden surprise which has unnerved the markets in here quite recently. And it's led to a lot of what I would call stale bull liquidation. In other words, there were plenty of people holding long positions still, a number of those, some leveraged positions. There was the Paulson Fund, which was quite substantial. I've been mentioning that for several weeks. And also, short sellers have been increasing their positions. And those included, no doubt, Goldman Sachs, which also had a timely bearish report that had come out at some point in the middle of last week, apparently. So that's all contributed to the sell-off. And the big question is, how far does this actually go? And you could say, of course, well, I will say that the decline that we've seen today certainly looks climactic. According to Bloomberg, it's the biggest fall that we've seen in a single day since 1980. So that's certainly going back quite a way. We have a short-term oversold condition, not surprisingly, but I'd be cautious in here because we've only seen 2 days of a fall. It's a very big fall, obviously, but there were plenty of people who were still holding, who were still hoping that those range lows would continue to hold and produce a decent rally. So I think as they gave way, and then as the stories about troubled central banks being asked to sell some gold have led to a temporary meltdown in sentiment overall. So it's really catch a falling knife territory. And in other words, it's something that's a bit dangerous to do and that people are generally a little bit reluctant to do. My feeling is that since people have been forced to reassess rather quickly in terms of their precious metal positions and the outlook for gold, that we're likely to need a support building process, and on that we could see actually see on the charts. I think people may well hold out for that unless we get a ludicrously large downward extension. But in the meantime, my best bet is that obviously people are going to be extremely nervous. We have seen a further reduction in long positions, and there'll be more pressure on Paulson and others to reduce their exposure. We also have short positions in the market. So this is putting in place some of the bull stories, get the longs, particularly the weaker longs out of the market, build up the short positions, and we'll create the conditions for a decent bounce. But I don't think we're there yet. And again, I'd be cautious. I'm in this environment right now. Now, getting back to stock markets, I've said in my last audio, and I realized I actually hadn't had an audio since the 5th of April with other activities that have taken me away. So that's been a while, but I know what Owen has been mentioning to you, and I certainly know what I had been saying before we went away. The global stock market corrective phase, as I've described it, That's really been in play since the end of January, and my view has been that this would gradually rein in just about every stock market going. Wall Street had been by far the best holdout overall among the really big markets. Some others had the ASEAN sector has also been very impressive in terms of overall performance. But given the size of the U.S. stock market, that was the big influence here generally. And what we have today are some quite clear downward dynamics with those declines of 2.3% or more for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ here today. Dow down one a little bit less, 1.79%. But my view on this is seeing those downward dynamics, those have capped Wall Street's rally for at least the short term. I think that's a message people will be taking on board from today's action. We are probably in the latter stages, or we're certainly in the second half, I should say. And that's I've also mentioned that earlier this month in some of my audios, probably in the second half of this overall global stock market sell-off. But that's often the more dangerous period in terms of downside risk because more and more investors become convinced that we are in a sell-off. So sentiment deteriorates and they extrapolate forecasts to the downside. Now, that's the bad news here. So what's the good news overall? And the good news is that we have a drop certainly in inflationary pressures. Actually, we will have some concerns over deflationary pressures, given the extent to which commodity markets are actually being hit in here today. And a contributing factor, which I didn't mention in the beginning of this broadcast, was that China's GDP growth for the first quarter came in weaker than was generally expected. It's still pretty awesome by global standards, but I think it was 7.7%, and they were looking for about 8%. So, again, getting back to the good news from all this, the fact that precious metals have come down so sharply, and indeed commodity markets in general, that will reduce commodity price inflation. It will also reassure central bankers that they can keep interest rates low and continue to provide considerable liquidity, including all the quantitative easing that we're seeing from so many sources. And of course, valuations are brought somewhat lower by the overall stock market corrective phase, and that will create another buying opportunity. In terms of commodity price action, same thing applies, but I would not run back in too quickly. I don't think we've completed this corrective phase just yet. And on that note, all the best to all of you. We're in for an interesting few weeks for sure.